in 5 seconds. 4, 3, 2. Log Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Joe Cristiano, and welcome to Liberty Talk Radio, your radio of reason, an independent streaming internet radio station and libertarian voice, broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week from our studio in Tulsa, Oklahoma, to around the world. This broadcast is being brought to you on Sunday evening, September 2nd, 2007. It's about 8:01 Central Daylight Time in the good old USA. Liberty Talk Radio is your antidote to popular talk radio. Here you are expected to do more than just listen. You are expected to think. Although we broadcast from the United States, libertarian principles of individual freedom and responsibility are universal and apply to your area of residence, be it New York, Bangkok, Berlin, or Stalingrad. Folks, it's time for us to take back control of our government now before this bureaucratic, oversized, and self-serving federal government starves us of our property, our freedom, our rights, and our liberty. To do this, we must shed conventional thinking regarding our political structure. We need to be revolutionaries in thought, dissidents in action. Only after we recognize what our government is doing to our freedom and our Constitution will we start taking it back. And this program is just about that. Now on to our program. Good evening, everyone. During our live broadcast, we invite you to call 646-652-4620, and we'll take your comments while on the air. At other times, you may call 903-551-2186 and leave a voice message. Of course, you may send us email at any time to comments@libertytalkradio.com. We will try to respond to your questions during our next broadcast. In addition to accessing Liberty Talk Radio from our website, you may now access our broadcast from blogtalkradio.com/Liberty Talk Radio. I also encourage you to get educated on economic issues. Go to Andy Sutton's website, mytwocentsonline.com. That's mytwocentsonline.com, and the two is a numerical two. He discusses economic issues and how they affect you. You can also listen to his blog broadcast on blogtalkradio.com/mytwocents. Very, very interesting, very insightful. You need to listen to him because he'll tell you what's happening to your dollar, or our dollar, or the government's dollar, however you look at it. Okay, good evening, everyone. This evening, we're going to talk a little bit about, you know, war and how it's so strange that so many of us, even those of us who don't consider ourselves strategists, political strategists, military strategists, understand the meaning of war, understand the consequences of war, and yet we expect that our leaders have that same understanding. And when they do not, our response is someone should tell them this is a bad thing. Someone should inform. We should write to our senators and our congressmen, and we should write to the President of the United States and Dick Cheney and tell them that this war is not working and this is what they should do and put America back on track. Well, we're going to talk about that, and we're going to talk about the inaneness of those comments that I just made, because it is not the war that's important. It's the reason behind the war that's important, and we're going to talk about that. Before we do get on to that, I want to encourage you. Andy Sutton sent me an email regarding the liquidity crisis. And folks, the liquidity crisis has not gone away. It has only started, which means that the financial institutions as we know them every day sit there with their hands, sitting on their hands, hoping nothing will happen. They do not know what will happen, but when it does, it's going to be mean. It's going to be very, very acute. It's going to be extremely painful to many people. The government will, in fact, bail them out, because the government will not, absolutely will not allow for the financial system to fail. Now you say, well, if they can bail them out, what seems to be the problem? Well, if they bail them out, they're going to bail them out with your money and my money. How do they do that? They print more money, put it into the system as they already have, I think $94 billion or something like that, $62 billion. I don't know how much it is at this point. But they print more money, and that creates inflation. That's the hidden tax we are paying. Ladies and gentlemen, we are paying for the loans that banks gave out because the government allowed them to do so because they gave them certain guarantees. Everyone is at fault here. It's the borrower. It is the lender. And it is the government. If the government said, guys, if you make a bad loan, you're going to live with it, you're going to float with it, or you're going to sink with it, I can guarantee you there wouldn't have been one of those loans written. Not one. It would have been like the old days where you went in and they scrutinized you for 2 weeks before you got a home loan. They want to know everything about you. They want the 5 or 10% down and sometimes 20% down depending on your income. And your income had to be a certain percentage of what the mortgage was, et cetera, et cetera. And you were lucky to get a loan, and it was high interest rate. And it was a maximum of 30 years. So what happened is that we no longer exercise, and as Andy Sutton puts, he said here, he uses the term, this was the beginning of the moral hazard in lending. The only saving grace is that the government-sponsored enterprises, those are the ones that guaranteed loans, were throttled by their charters and regulators in terms of the types of loans that they could buy, the total amount of their holdings and similar restrictions. And of course, the banks didn't hold these loans. They sold them. You know, towards the end of my mortgage, in fact, I only had like 2 years left, I think my mortgage was sold 2 and 3 times. I kept on getting letters saying, you know, commercial bank of so-and-so no longer is holding your mortgage. It has been sold to da-da-da-da someone else. And this happened 2 or 3 times, and I couldn't understand it. Well, people keep on bundling these mortgages, good with the bad, and with they discount it, get their money, get the heck out, right? And then they sell it and they pass it on to somebody else. The train has come to the station. There is no more fuel in the train, no more steam, and it has come to a screeching halt. Folks, we are just seeing the beginning of this. I hate to even try to understand what could happen as a result of all this. It's not going to be very pretty. Okay. Enough of that. We're not talking about that tonight. And I went off on my tangent again. Tonight, we're going to talk a little bit about war. And I think this is an interesting subject. Originally, I was going to go to the dictionary and look up definitions of war. And I said, what a waste that would be. Because we all know what war is. And it's war basically, I'm not even going to get into that, into definition. Whatever your definition is fine for this show. You know, it's fine for us. Right? But I do want to read to you, an excerpt from Richard Cobden. He lived 1804 to 1865. He was born poor and became a successful manufacturer in Manchester, England. He was enormously influential in British politics as a writer, organizer, and member of Parliament. Along with the great orator John Bright, he led the Anti-Corn Law League, which agitated successfully for the repeal of tariff on grain. Anyway, he was instrumental in many aspects of government. He never decided to run for the cabinet, become part of the cabinet of the British government, because he wanted his independence. And this is what he said about war. About intervention, basically, and war is the most acute, egregious form of intervention. He says, I say, if you want to benefit nations who are struggling for their freedom, establish as one of the maxims of international law the principles of non-intervention. If you want to give a guarantee for peace, and as I believe, the surest guarantee for progress and freedom, lay down this principle and act on it, that no foreign state has a right by force to interfere with the domestic concerns of another state, even to confer a benefit on it without its own consent. That speech was given in 1850 in the British Parliament. When the British government wanted to dispatch naval forces to Greece in response to alleged violation of British citizens' property by the Greek government, known as the Don Pacifico affair, Cobden laid out the policy of non-intervention as a principle of foreign affairs. Now, I have a question for my listeners, especially those who are pro-Iraqi war, pro-Iran war, and who respond to most criticisms about the war on terror with, well, you know, we have to contain terrorism. We have to do, you know, we had to get rid of Saddam Hussein and all that other garbage, which means they know not what they're talking about. Here it is. Do you think for a moment that all of the people that are in office, or those in high office, the president and all of his advisors, have absolutely no concept of history? They have no knowledge of history. They do not understand the consequences of war. They don't realize that it can literally destroy a nation. It can bring down an empire, such as happened to Rome and every other empire. Are we, the common person, who are not so politically and militarily astute, on a higher intellectual plane than our officials? Now, if you think that, then you would be correct in writing your congressman and telling him exactly what to do, because these poor slobs don't know what the hell is going on. Right? I mean, that, and you may want to send them a book or two about maybe about history and the history of war. Have them read it and maybe they'll have some insight. You see, folks, the war in Iraq and every other war has absolutely nothing to do with the nations. It has absolutely nothing to do with nation states. If it did, we wouldn't be in Iraq. We wouldn't even doing any saber rattling with Iran. We would never have been involved in World War II. We would have remained neutral, and no, the world would not become a Nazi concentration camp. Look at the map someday, folks. Look at a map of the world and look at the size of Germany and then look at the rest of the world. Right? And then look at get the figures of the population of Germany and the rest of the world, and you're going to tell me that those few people, basically few people in Germany, were going to control the rest of the world. It was never going to happen. It was a fool's game from the very beginning. But of course, we didn't think that way. We were never allowed to think that way, because the government knows exactly what buttons to push in order that we would send our daughters, our sons and our daughters overseas to get killed for some reason other than what you think it is. And this is exactly what happened in Iraq. What really aggravates me about the war in Iraq is that the people in Washington initiate a conflict and then they send the troops to back up that conflict. Now, they have nothing to lose, absolutely nothing to lose, but of course the people who are going have a lot to lose, don't they? And many so far, almost 4,000 have lost their lives, and as far as the Iraqi population is concerned, well over 1 million, I think it's 1,100,000 and counting. Now, for a man who considers himself a born-again Christian and believes in the Christian principles of love, understanding, fellowship, all those catch words that represent the Christian ideology, I cannot understand how this man could ever have sent one person over there with a pea shooter. Now, let's get back to wars are never an accident. I mean, things don't occur where one country does something, then another country. Of course, countries are always doing something. It's the world every day. The dynamics of the world change. It all depends on whether or not the a government who has an ulterior motive will cease on that, on those circumstances or those confluence of events, and then make something of it. Now, we have conjured up war with every nation for the past 125 years. We've always false flagged the whole stupid thing, got involved. Thousands upon thousands and thousands of people gotten killed. Trillions of dollars have been spent, and to absolutely no avail whatsoever. Now, do you think for a moment again that our elected officials don't know this? You think that, oh, someone should tell them this? Maybe we should write Washington and advise them of this? You see, the reason why countries go to war are economic reasons. And the only reason why they go to war are economic reasons. The only reason why the defending nation goes to war is to defend itself. And we have a Department of Defense, don't we? Do you know at one time, at World War II, it was not called the Department of Defense. It was called, appropriately, the Department of War. They changed it in the later 40s to the Department of Defense because they couldn't get any funding for the Department of War because people said, but we're not at war. So they changed it to the Department of Defense. Now, who would deny the Department of Defense any funding defending our nation? Then the countries, then our country, conjures up some stupid incident, sells it, packages it to the populace, and then we send our boys to war, whether it be Korea, Vietnam, you know, we go back to the War of 1812, the same crap. And yet, we persist on doing this, and we have most of the people following and saying, well, maybe this is different. Folks, it is never different. The only time it could be different, the only time it could be different, is if, in fact, another nation attacks us and we take, and we did not provoke them. We had nothing to do with it. They did it for their economic benefit and our economic loss, and we have to defend ourselves. Then everybody, you know, my wife, my kids, they all get AK-47s, M1s, M16s, whatever they give out these days in the army, you know, go and let's fight. You know, let's protect ourselves, because if we don't, we're going to get killed anyway. But no one's doing that to us. We are a superpower. No one's crazy enough to do that. No one could even hold a candle to. I was watching on TV, documentary TV about some, oh, History Channel rather, about some of the new fighters that they have out. These things are incredible. I mean, they are the most advanced fighters in the world. In a dogfight, there is not an airplane in the world that can come near any of these fighters. I mean, super fast, super maneuverable, stealth, weird-looking things. I mean, they are just absolutely terrific, you know. And yet, they cost millions and millions and millions of dollars. Other countries just can't afford them. Even if they had the technology, they couldn't afford to build them. So no one is going to be foolish enough to attack us. That's stupid. That's like going to the big bully on the block who's a really strong kid and just going there and punching him in the nose, you know, while you're standing there in your bathing suit. He's going to rip you apart. Now, why do they do this? Because there are money interests, folks. There are money interests who run this government. And they run the government. They run the government behind the scenes. All the people that we elect to office are just a showcase. They're the showcase to make everybody here happy to think that we have a government. We have a government of, for, and by the people. It is not. It is for, and by the financial institutions. They're the ones, and they have absolutely no national affiliation. And there's no patriotism and all that. That's for the front people to tell us, you know, we have our nation, we got to be patriots, we have to stick together, blah, 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 you know. And that's the front people. What's happening in the background is that there's people who want money and power, or power and money. It all comes together. It's all one package. They come together. If you have enough power, you have enough power, you have the money. As I think it was Rothschild that said, leave the army. I will do without the armies. I will do without everything in a nation. Just give me control of the money supply. And that's exactly what they've done with the Federal Reserve. They are controlling us left and right. They control absolutely everything that we do. Don't kid yourself. That's why when you start thinking this way, and as Mike Gravel from Alaska said in a debate with the Democratic Democrats for the President of the United States, the candidacy for President of the United States, he said every time they ask him the question, they said it's a simple thing to understand. He says just follow the money, and all the other Democrats are saying, "Oh, the guy's crazy." No, he's absolutely right. Just follow the money. If you follow the money, everything makes sense. People cannot make sense out of this war. They argue whether or not it was weapons of mass destruction or it was Saddam Hussein. We put Saddam Hussein in office, and we know that he had weapons of mass destruction because we have all the receipts. You know, that's an old joke. But that's the truth, though. We gave him whatever old weapons of mass destruction he had and he used on his own people, we gave to him. So, you know, who's at fault there? And we encouraged him. Go ahead, go about doing it. We wanted him in power because we were concerned about Iran, you know, and we wanted to keep control of oil. Oil is money, folks. There's money and power in oil. We have to maintain control. We will never leave Iraq. The war in Iraq will be like the war on poverty and the war on drugs, the war on everything else that we have these days, the war on indecency or whatever else they conjure up. And they love the term war because when they're at war, they can appropriate everything and anything, you know, at our expense and restrict our freedom. Now, when we say war, we're talking about, obviously, military armed conflict. But it's always about the money. If you can divorce your thinking, absolutely divorce your thinking from war being a military conflict of one nation competing for minerals or whatever, you know, competing with another nation. If you can get that out of your head and look at it as an economic enterprise, an economic entity, as an entrepreneur would, then you could understand the war in Iraq. There would be absolutely not one troop in Iraq, not one penny spent in Iraq, even though the penny is worthless today. It's only made out of zinc, I think. No, there's no copper in our penny. Haven't been since 1982, you know, and not one zinc penny, okay, in Iraq, you know, if they did not have oil. We wouldn't give a damn. I mean, all the people could be dying and starving. We wouldn't give them. Oh, no, we would send UN troops in there, and the Americans would be in there, and we'd make some flights in the overture, like we're helping people. But that's all front stuff, just like the people in office, all front people, right? It's not the true meaning of government. The true meaning of government is to keep this empire going, you know, because it's powerful, and power makes money, you know? We want to control everything. We want to control what countries do so we can control the natural resources so we can keep this money machine going. And you and I are not the ones benefiting by it, right? So you can forget all that stuff about war being good, bad, or indifferent, about the good guys and the bad guys. There ain't no good guys and bad guys. There are people who are benefiting by this war and people who are not. Now, 99% of the people are not benefiting by the war. That 1% or 1,000th of 1%, whoever they are, they're making a killing. If you can understand that, the war in Iraq makes perfect sense, and you'll realize that we will never, ever, ever, ever leave Iraq. And if it suits the moneylenders, we will start another war someplace else. It makes no difference if the U.S. goes bankrupt doing it because they have no national interest they have absolutely no national interest whatsoever. All they want is control of the natural resources, which makes them money. And they don't care if it's in euros, if it's in rubles. They don't care. Provided the currency is good, they can use it in exchange and use it to further their gains. That's fine. If you can understand that, all of these wars made sense. And I know what people think of, well, what about World War II when the Japanese had a surprise attack on Pearl Harbor? Well, there was no surprise attack on Pearl Harbor. Read your books. Read your history. There is no surprise attack. We've learned that. Even that was conjured up. Even that, I mean, we placed the Japanese in a position where they did not want to attack Pearl Harbor. We insisted that they do, in a sense. Now, we didn't say that out loud, but in effect, that's what we did, and we knew that we were going to do it. That's why only World War I ships were left anchored in Hawaii, and all the World War II ships, the new ships, they put them out to fleet. Because they knew they were going to sink them anyway. Well, we couldn't use them much anyway. They were obsolete ships. They never told the people that. But we knew they were doing it. We knew when and everything. So no surprise attack. Again, it was in our monetary interest to go into that war, regardless of how many soldiers got killed. And I think that's a national tragedy. And if those of you say, well, then I'm going to vote for someone who's anti-war, you know, a Democrat, for example, or maybe a Republican who's anti-war, you know, it's not going to do much good. Because what we need to do is we need to dismantle the money machine. And the only person out there who is making any overtures to dismantle the money machine and put the currency back in the people's hands, and I won't get into that now, but take the currency from the cabal that actually controls our currency and placing it back in the hands of the populace is Ron Paul. He wants to get rid of the Federal Reserve. You get rid of Federal Reserve, folks, I'll tell you one thing, we're going to have a hard currency again. You have a hard currency, you cannot go to war because you cannot finance a war on hard currency because there's just enough currency to keep the economy going and growing. There will be nothing extra to send troops around the world. We'll have to take every single installation from around the world. We'd have to close up, bring all the stuff home, put it in storage out in the Midwest somewhere in the desert, you know, and have all the boys take their uniforms off except for a few that we'll need for national defense, you know, and put everyone back to work. And that's what would happen there. Don't kid yourself. He's the only one that can do it. Unfortunately, if Ron Paul did get elected, and there's an outside chance that he may squeak in. I mean, if the roll of the ball keeps on rolling in his favor, I don't give him very long. I think there would be a target on him. I don't think he would live. I know it's horrible to say. But John Kennedy tried to get rid of, well, he did. He had an executive order trying to dissolving the Federal Reserve and placing, you know, the government back in control of the currency to try to get it on even keel. And we all know what happened there. Now, whether or not there's a connection there, I don't know. But I suspect that Ron Paul would have to keep himself in a bunker if he got rid of the Federal Reserve. Because he's not playing ball with the big boys. He's not playing ball with the people who are really in power. And that's my take on war this evening. I'm only going to have a half-hour broadcast. I appreciate my listeners for listening in. We've had no calls this evening, which is unusual. Maybe the subject was a turnoff because people have heard that before 100 times and they're tired of listening to it. But that's it. Our next broadcast will be Thursday morning at 6:30 a.m. We broadcast every live 6:30 a.m. every Thursday, and then again on Sunday at 8 p.m. and sometimes at 8:30, depending on when I can get the bandwidth to broadcast with. But typically at 8 p.m. And for about a half hour. I do encourage everyone to call in. And next time we have a live broadcast, call in 646-652-4620. If you're listening to a rebroadcast, you can call into 903-551-2186. Let the phone ring a few times and you can leave a message. Of course, I'd love to hear your comments. Please send your comments to comments@libertytalkradio.com. That's comments@libertytalkradio.com. I will read your email on the air, and we'll discuss it. I'd love to get feedback from my listeners. I know I have plenty of them because I see the statistics coming through, but I do need to get more feedback from you guys and any suggestions that you may have for me. You know, I know I'm not a professional Rush Limbaugh or Hannity or Glenn Beck, thank heaven, but I do try to make it interesting and informative and educational. Okay? All righty, we're going to start signing off right now. Let me play our my favorite song, And I Wonder. There it is. Okay, we've been broadcasting for about 29 minutes. Wow. This is the end of tonight's broadcast. We'd like to thank Ranch Acres Audiology for their financial support, and we'd like to thank you for listening in. You can further the cause of liberty by recommending this program to your friends. And let us hear from you. Our email address is comments@libertytalkradio.com. Or phone us with your questions at 903-551-2186. Remember, you are either allowing your liberties to be taken away or you are striving to protect them. Unfortunately, there's no middle ground. And remember, folks, don't steal. The government hates competition. Until next time, stay well, stay tuned.